Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT. On today's episode of the Successful Mind Podcast, David wanted to do something a little different. He wanted to share with you a recent teaching he did with his CEO, Steph Tuss, around developing unshakable confidence. It's his hope that by listening, you'll see confidence through an entirely new lens, which will then have a positive impact on your life. Take a listen and enjoy.
All right, David, I think you're here with me. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can, Steph. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. We have a ton to cover, so let's jump right in. So we've promised to help people develop unshakable confidence. Can you just start by sharing what confidence really is and why so many of us don't have it?
Yes, I can. And in doing so, to prepare for this, one of the things that I did was I wanted to look up the actual definitions in the dictionary for the word itself. And it gives three distinct definitions that I think that are very important for us to understand or help us understand confidence. So the first one is this: the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something in firm trust. So if the first one, what I want to say about the first one is this, that it's a feeling of certainty or belief that we have in ourselves that we can rely on another person or another thing. And I think that that's very important to understand that. So that's really relying, and then it said firm trust, right? So that's a real certainty for a belief or a feeling for someone else or something else. So that's number one. Number two is the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. So now we're looking at, so something can basically be anything. It could be ourself, it could be another person, or it could be another thing. But what it's saying here is that it's a state, which we're saying is basically an emotional state within ourself, of feeling certain about the truth of something. Now, here's something that's fascinating about this, right? What determines whether or not it's the truth? Now, I'm going to speak about more about that in a minute here, but I just want to point that out for the listeners to pay attention to this, because I think that's something that is really fascinating and we can learn something really interesting about this. So we're talking about the truth of something and how do we know if it's the truth or not, being that it's basically just generically stating, or I think it's actually more of a presupposition that we know the truth, that this is the truth about something. So that's interesting. All right, the third one is a feeling of self-assurance from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. Now, this is the one that I actually want to start with, because I think that we have to develop an understanding of how do we actually get to a place of self-assurance, and then what is the problem that we have as adults when we're not feeling self-assured? Or these feelings of certainty or firm trust are not showing up in the other areas that we would identify as confidence. I think based on the three definitions that I've given, if we were to really sit down and think about it, we would realize that confidence is very, very important to be developed correctly and then to continue to develop as we go on through our lifetime. And one of the problems that we have is that it's not, for a lot of people, it's not developed correctly. I've always had this belief, based on everything that I've ever studied, if you study the psychological and the spiritual and the human potential side of everything, it basically says that the human potential is unlimited, or that we don't know what the human potential is. Like, we have no idea where does that end, just how big is it and how powerful is it for the individual? So one of the things that we know is that in order for a person to become successful in any given thing, a certain degree of confidence has to be established within that person in order to become confident. And one of the reasons, if we look at all three of these definitions, one of the reasons that a person doesn't develop confidence is because the point in which they're starting is false. So if we look at all three of these things, every one of them basically says that there is a feeling of certainty that is acquired within the individual based on the number one, which was someone or something, number two, which was a feeling of certainty about basically anything, the truth that lies in anything that we're dealing with in our life, and three, based on our own abilities. So our own abilities is then defined on what do we have experience with, what have we practiced, what have we disciplined ourselves to do over a period of time? What do we have? What have we gotten a significant amount of feedback from that shows us that we are really well-versed in that particular skill set or education or knowledge or whatever it might be, practice, business, earning money, anything. Now, Why wouldn't we have confidence? Well, one of the reasons why we wouldn't have confidence is because from a cause and effect perspective, in order for us to develop confidence, we have to have an idea of something that we're going to learn. We are then being taught how to learn that. So it has both an educational and a practical application to whatever it is that we're going to learn. And then we use that, we put those together cognitively in our mind, we do them, we apply them in our life, and we get a result. And that result is either the right result, the one that we were supposed to get, or it is an error. We did it wrong somewhere. So either we understood something wrong about what we were doing, or we applied the knowledge incorrectly and we made an error. As we make the error over and over again, we kind of fine-tune our thinking and we fine-tune our application, and then we start to get it right. And as we get it right, the confidence builds. So basically, like what it says in the dictionary about firm trust, we develop a firm trust in ourselves that we have the ability to do this. We also, this is fascinating because they're all individual, but they all run through each other. So we're also developing that feeling or that belief that we can rely on something or someone to have the exact outcome that we're looking for, and that's including ourselves, and that what we're proving in the application of what we're doing is actually true. So all of these things can run independent of each other in their definition, and they can all run with and through each other. So they're all connected in various different ways. I think what's fascinating about it is that if we were looking at a person and the person is working on developing confidence because they're recognizing that they don't have confidence and they're questioning why they don't have confidence, the part about the truth becomes the most important thing that the person needs to focus on. So what I'm saying here is this. I think that there's a lot of people in the world that don't have confidence, and they don't know why they don't have confidence, but they've drawn a conclusion to the reason that they don't, and it's false. For instance, I'm a bad person. I'm not a good person. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right upbringing. I've done wrong things in my life. I've done bad things in my life. I've made too many errors. I'm too old. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not accepted enough by other people. All of these things, you and I have both witnessed, Steph, over coaching thousands of people, all very valid reasons in their mind that they don't have the confidence or that they can't get it. So now here's the danger part with this. That actually, if you look at these definitions, it actually follows the definition. So what they have is confidence in the fact that they don't have confidence. And that causes a big problem. So what do they have? They have a firm trust in what they don't have. They have a feeling of certainty in a false truth, but not the real truth. And they have the self-assurance that they actually can't do it because that's what they've experienced throughout their life. So we can actually say, deductively, by reasoning this out in a rational manner, that the person has developed confidence just in the wrong thing. So the whole idea then would be to get them to turn that around by understanding what the truth is. So we have to replace the truth in whatever the person believes, get them to develop trust, which I'll talk a little bit later on in this, and then apply that to their life until they get a new result, and that's going to help them build a new confidence, not rebuild a lack of confidence, because it's not that they have a lack of confidence, they have confidence in the wrong thing. I think confidence is something that's inherent in human nature. We see it right from when a baby's born. A baby has to have some kind of confidence, and I'm not saying that it's an intellectual confidence. It would have to come in the form of a feeling or instinct, but in order to be able to communicate what it needs in order to survive. So we have this confidence. It's a matter of what is it built upon, which is truth or trust, and then what is the information that we're using to apply it in our life, and aren't we actually getting the correct feedback? Does that make somewhat of any sense? I hope it does. I know that's kind of long-winded, but there's a lot to this. Like, I could do a couple of day seminar just on this topic. It's really deep and it can get very complicated. So I'm trying not to complicate it, but I also want to give the listeners an understanding of that there's more to this in a good way, like in a really positive way of changing this, because it's not something that they don't have. It's something that's misdirected.
So let's apply this to a real life situation, because as you're, you know, talking through this, my mind is going like, I've never thought of it this way. Like, I'm actually surprised at this teaching. I wasn't expecting it. But I'm looking at some of the coaching calls that I've even had just recently with some of our clients. A big point of resistance for people is reaching out and calling someone on the phone. And they think that they don't want to reach out and call someone on the phone because they have a lack of confidence. But what you're saying is that they're actually confident that something bad's going to happen. Either they're going to be rejected, someone's going to say no, they'll feel humiliated. They have confidence in that, which is what causes them to not actually pick up the phone and make the call.
Right. But that doesn't feel good, does it? So
yeah.
So all it does is verify what they confidently already believe about themselves, but that's based in a non-truth.
Right.
Right? So they do have the confidence. And think about it. The confidence is causing them to take the incorrect action for the result that they say that they want in their life, but it's verifying what they already believe about themselves, and they don't want to experience that. So we have, you know, we've got this is one of those areas where I've talked about many times where the conscious and the subconscious mind are working against each other,
right,
to create a result that we don't want. And the idea is that we get them working together, which can be done, but we also have to understand what the truth is in order to change it in the direction that we want it to go.
Well, and here's the thing, right? So I always remember you saying to look to nature to see the truth. And you're absolutely right. Like, nothing in nature shies away from its potential or limits itself. Nothing in nature has confidence in the wrong thing.
Right?
A tree is not confident that it's not going to rain. A tree is confident that it is going to rain and that it's going to grow into its full potential. So when, I mean, it's just, oh, of course, unless humans get involved, then nature gets all sorts of messed up.
Exactly.
But this makes total sense. Okay, so knowing that, let's go into talking about something you call comparisonitis, which is basically the compulsion to compare yourself to others. What's the truth about this, and how can people pull themselves out of this self-sabotage?
Well, what's interesting about the comparison is that again, there's a couple of different ways that I could go about this, but I don't want to confuse everybody. So I'm going to talk about it in basically one direction that makes sense to what we're what we're teaching today. Most people are comparing themselves to other people because they see something in someone else that they want, that the other person is being, doing, or having in their life. And often what shows up is envy or jealousy in this case. Now, we can go down a whole rabbit hole as to what comes out of that. But the idea is that if we just back it up a little bit and recognize something very interesting, we don't always compare ourselves to everyone else. We compare ourselves to certain people in our life, or certain people, period. They don't necessarily have to even be in our life. And what we're doing is we're in the comparison. Before we can compare, we have to recognize something. So that means we're seeing something in this person. Now, if we're doing it under the teaching of confidence and what we don't have and what we want to change to make ourselves better and get what we want, generally, we're seeing something in someone else that we actually want to have for ourselves, but we don't believe that we have the ability to do it. And we certainly don't have the confidence in that ability to do it. So when we see it in someone else, if we're going down the route of envy, what we really want to do is we're kind of wishing, basically, that we could be, do, or have what we see somebody else doing. What we need to do in this place is actually understand the truth about what's actually happening. We're seeing in someone else what is actually a reflection of our own potential. So what we would be envious of or jealous of in another is actually something that we have lying dormant in ourselves, but nobody helped us gain the confidence so that we had the awareness that we could actually be, do, or have what we see somebody else doing. What I've always found very fascinating about this is that you generally will not be envious or jealous or even judgmental, which is like another step down that rabbit hole that I was talking about, with a person that they're not experiencing something that you actually want or actually don't want. You won't even notice it. It won't even come on your radar. It's only when you see somebody doing something that's actually reflecting something back that you actually want in your life. And like I said, so you have to be kind of careful here, because it can be who they're being, it could be what they're doing, it could be what they have, it could be what they stand for. There's a lot of different principles that this could fall under. And because you're only recognizing one or two things, there are certain things that could actually be missed. So can I just give an example of what this might look like? We have time for this? Okay. So let's look at it in the form of what we help people do the most, which is build businesses and earn money. You already used an example of making a phone call.
Yes.
So one of the things that we know is that generally, middle-class people are raised with a different value system than entrepreneurs are raised with. It's not a wrong value system. It's just a different value system. That value system is designed to generally keep them safe, keep them loyal in a job, keep them loyal to an education, so that they can live a relatively safe, responsible life. Not at either extreme. Not like really wealthy or really poor, but, you know, pretty mediocre, right down the middle of the road. So if that person is using comparisonitis, so to speak, with someone else, and they see somebody who's extremely effective and they're wealthy, they're running a business or they're building a business, and the person is looking at them and thinking, I would really wish I could do that, but they have all these reasons why they can't. One of the things that may occur to them is that maybe this person seems rude, or they seem arrogant, or they seem like to be a know-it-all, or a show-off, or, you know, that kind of an idea will come to a person's mind. What they're actually experiencing in that moment is just a conflict of value systems. So the person is actually, they're probably not arrogant or rude or any of those things, but they're bold, they're enthusiastic, they're outgoing, They're vision and goal oriented. They're going after what they want. But underneath all of that is that they have the confidence that through the exercise of whatever it is that they're going for in life, they know that they're going to get the result through if they take the proper actions to do it. If we're coming from a place where we're comparing and we're falling into judgment or envy or jealousy, we see them getting what they want. We don't understand how to get that because we don't have the confidence to do it. So we get stuck in the comparison. We don't like being in the comparison. The comparison does not feel good. So we have to figure out a way to get out of that. And because we don't have the confidence, we don't move towards it. So what do? We judge. Judgment makes it okay for us to stay where we are, and then we stay stuck. Does that make sense?
So you make that person wrong.
We make the person wrong, or what they're doing wrong, at the very least.
Yeah, that makes total sense. How can people stop? Like, I think it's great to understand it, but I mean, a lot of people that we speak to don't even really have the wherewithal to understand that they're doing it in the first place. Like, if you can stop yourself and realize that, oh, I'm comparing myself to, you know, someone who's more successful or someone who's more thin or someone who is in a healthy relationship or someone who has something that you don't have, what can they do to kind of pull themselves out of that mindset, that trap?
All right, so this is a good question because the information that I always want to give somebody is to try to help them find a way to move forward in a situation like this and not become more stuck because the information is not clear enough to actually be of quality advice to help them move forward. So the idea is to identify the problem first, which we did, and that I'm going to just say it again so that everybody understands it, that we're not coming from a place of truth.
Yeah.
So something that we believe here is actually incorrect. The problem is unless I'm actually talking to a person, it's hard to pull out what belief they're actually operating by that's incorrect. But here's what we do know, that they have confidence in what they believe is the truth and where they are, and they can't reconcile the difference with the person they're comparing themselves to. Mm-hmm. So that is a clear indication that the person they're comparing themselves to is operating with a different belief system. They're coming from a different point of truth. And if the person that is doing the comparing can come to the determination that something that I believe here is not true, we can begin working with that person to figure out what it is. What is it that you're believing that's not true, that's causing you to rely on the confidence to stay the same where you are, where if you were to find out what the truth is, you could then develop that certainty, that feeling of certainty in the other thing, like we read in the definition at the beginning of the call, and then you'd actually have the ability to begin to practice something different because you would now have a new truth. Now, here's the interesting thing about truth, right? Truth has to have some evidence that it's true. So it's not just like, I wouldn't want anybody to just blindly take the advice or the opinion of someone else and say, oh, that's true. Like every time when I do live seminars, I'm like, you don't believe me. Like, I encourage you not to believe me. Do your homework. Find out if what I'm telling you is true, if it works for your life. If it does, great. If it doesn't, cast it aside and go learn from somebody else. But the idea is that whatever it is the other person is, whatever they're believing, whatever it is that they're doing, has to be based in some kind of truth because it's getting a result. And that's just what it is. So even when somebody does something wrong, it's based in some kind of truth. It doesn't mean that it's right. It just means that from a cause and effect perspective, something that they're doing is based in an actual truth that plays out as an effect in that person's life. Here we're looking at good things that we want. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it this person believes that's different from a point of truth that I can now learn and understand? I can verify that it's true. I can replace it in my value system and then use the confidence that I've already developed and turn it in a different direction to get a completely different result. And like you were reading in my biography kind of here in the beginning, this is what we've done for over 20 years with people. People are always asking, how is it that we're able to do this so fast? Because we understand 90% of the things that the person needs to get the results already operating in them, but it's pointed in the wrong direction. If we can get a person to see that and understand it and then voluntarily turn that compass in another direction, they'll automatically get the result because they're already operating with it. It's not like we have to develop confidence. We have to find out where our confidence is being used in the wrong direction and just turn it around. Now, then it begs the question of, does any confidence get developed at all? Well, yeah, it does, because you gain a new sense of confidence in a new skill set or a new direction that you're moving in. But the truth is you already have the confidence to apply it because you're applying it someplace else. So that's when the comparison stops. You're able to gain the truth from what somebody else is doing. You analyze it against whatever it is that you believe to be true. If you can settle that difference in your mind, which most people can, because it's not like you're being asked to do something unethical, we're just looking at what's true here for the desired outcome that I want from my life, and can I then shift it? So here's where basically the complication comes in on this, because you might think to yourself, well, if it was really that easy, why wouldn't everybody else do it? Because we're believing in something that has that causes us to have a real sense of certainty in our life. So the confidence that we're applying to our life, in some way it keeps us safe, in some way it keeps us feeling okay about ourselves, it keeps us feeling that we're doing the right and responsible thing, and of course we don't want to do the wrong and irresponsible thing, so we kind of latch on to that belief. So it does require a little bit of learning in order to be able to change that around, but once a person changes it, they can definitely get the new result that they're looking for, and they'll stop comparing. And here's the thing: anything that you see in someone else that is of an admirable quality is something that's lying dormant inside of yourself that you can breathe life into and have it as your own in your own life.
As you're sitting here talking, I can see the most simplistic example of this. And you actually did it in your own life really, really early on in your kind of development of your consciousness, so to speak, when you decided to change three things.
Yeah.
So you were on a forklift, you were making $20,000, you were completely stuck, you were kicking boxes of potato chips in the back of pickup trucks because you just were confident that there was no way out. And instead of comparing yourself to the owner of the company and making him wrong, you actually stopped and said something different. You said, I'm going to do three things that he did and see if anything changes. So, I mean, that's a pretty simple example of what you're talking about, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And it's a really interesting example, because that is exactly what I did with this person. I picked someone that I could relate to on some level. And I'll tell you why. Because I didn't have the confidence that I could do, my mind would play tricks on me, Steph. It would be like, if I would look at somebody who had a superior talent to me, like, I don't know, they could play an instrument or something, or they were really, really good at sports. They were a good athlete. I couldn't reconcile that difference in my mind because I wasn't good at those things. So I had also the same problem with a person that had an advanced education because I quit high school. So I happened to just know a little bit about the guy that built this company's background, and it was very similar to mine in a lot of ways. So I thought, okay, what are the key differences that he's doing right now that I can recognize that I'm not doing? And it was, love what you do, treat everybody with total respect, do every job to the best of your ability. So I literally took those three things and the confidence in what I was already doing, applied those three things in my life, spun it around 180 degrees and instantly got a result in 30 days. Which allowed me to triple my income. So, I mean, it was so significant, it blew my mind. I couldn't have told you any of this back then. I had to go on a 7-year journey to figure out what the hell I had just done. But if you really think about it, that's not supposed to happen. So if I had to, and I didn't redevelop any new confidence in 30 days. That was the thing about it. Like, everything that I had ever learned up to that point said this was not supposed to happen. What I realized was that it was the truths inside of me that were wrong. it wasn't necessarily the confidence. Now, I did build more confidence as I went, but everybody does if they keep moving in life. You develop more confidence either in the position that you're in or the direction that you're going, but it builds, right? It's an internal strength on something that we're relying upon. Remember what the second definition was, the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. Mm-hmm. So even if that truth is not true, if it's a lie, but we believe it's true, we'll feel certain in it and stay in the place. But unfortunately, we get a bad result, which is the life that I was living up to that point. But this is what allowed me to change it. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.